It says we're live! Friday Night Feels, woo! It has been a week, so I am so excited and grateful to be here. I am licensed mental health counselor Patrick Manette, and I have such a magical musical guest tonight, Susie Burton from Texas, and I'm going to do her introduction in a minute. So I just want to apologize. My computer decided that it needed to start over before we rocked and rolled. So welcome to Friday Night Feels. I'm so excited to be here. Just a reminder for people who might want to listen after, we are now a full podcast. So you can see us on, you know, all the major platforms and everything for Friday Night Feels. This was the show that I created over a year ago when COVID really shut everything down. And it's turned into like the most amazing adventure of meeting people from all over the world. And tonight we get to meet with Susie. So I'm super excited. So I just want to give a little info about Susie. She is an Austin-based musician, facilitator, and drum instructor. She embarked on her rhythmic journey when she first began training with a local West African drumming class. Soon after, the group started performing throughout Austin and San Antonio at a variety of community events, wellness centers, and private parties. Susie loves the intense, disciplined training necessary in learning the traditional rhythms. And it was that experience combined with the healing community connection she discovered while drumming that inspired her to pursue the field of drum circle facilitation. Welcome, Susie, to Friday Night Feels.
Thank you.
This is so awesome. I'm so excited you're here. You know, I'm getting more and more people from Texas. I think it's the place, like, where all the magical people are. Am I correct in that?
Well, it's very big, so there's a lot of us. But it, you know, it really is. I'm being in Texas is more of a surprise to me than anyone else probably. I'm from New York originally, and I could not have imagined. Yeah, but it's funny. I have met so many magical people here, so you might be onto something there.
The connection. Now, you are the founder of Soul Shine Rhythm Experience, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So, and Susie and I were chatting a little bit, so I'm hoping if the spirit moves her, she might actually do some live music for us tonight, which I've never had in Friday Night Feels of live music, so I'm so excited right now.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy busy week, I'm sure it has for other people. You know, I hope everyone had a good July 4th. So, tell us a little bit about your experience in drumming in it. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Get ready. I had caffeine. It's Friday night.
He's ready to go. Uh-oh. Well, I guess I can start from the beginning and just give you kind of a brief intro. As you mentioned in my introduction, that I started out drumming, doing the West African drumming. And I had played music most of my life. You know, I was in the band. I was a band geek. I did all the marching band. I played the saxophone for, you know, 15 plus years. And just music was always a big part of my life. And at some point, you know, I got into my 20s, got married, had a kid, and I just wasn't doing it anymore. And I was really itching for that connection that you get from music making, especially collaborating. Mm-hmm. And so I got turned on to this class. I checked it out, fell in love with it immediately. And I had always wanted to know how to play correctly when it came to the djembe. I had played it, you know, at like Grateful Dead concerts, like outside the stadium when I was growing up as a teenager, just banging on drums and drum circles, but I didn't know what I was doing. And so I thought it would be really interesting to know the tradition behind it. So I did that and I just fell in love with it immediately. And it happened to be during a very, very difficult time in my life. I had just moved to Texas. I had a newborn. Well, I guess he was about two at that point. I was busy. But my marriage was falling apart. And it was becoming more and more evident to me that I was living in a toxic relationship. I was essentially being abused. And, you know, if we cut right to it. And so drum class for me became an escape in a way. And it was one of those things where I just never missed a class. If I had to bring my son with me, I would bring him with me. It just became this community that just lifted me up in a way that I didn't expect. Now, I will say that was all in retrospect, right? Right. When I was in it, I was just doing it.
Right. We get the wisdom after, right? Like, of course. Exactly. This is what was happening.
Exactly.
Divine intervention.
Right. And I will say it saved my life. You know, I say very quite honestly, because in that time, I became more empowered. I had this purpose beyond, you know, motherhood, beyond myself. And it really inspired me to pursue it, you know? And then in that same time of doing that activity, I was getting stronger mentally and getting connected and feeling supported. Even though nobody there knew my story, I was just kind of not secretly, that's not the right word. I was just going through the motions, you know, as we do when we're under duress, really.
Right.
But when I look back on it now, and really what catapulted me into becoming a facilitator was that one day I just sat back and I reflected on what I had been through and overcame, and all the people in my life that helped me through it. And the common thread through all of that was drumming. Mm-hmm. And I just went, I think there's something there.
That's amazing.
And yeah, and that's when I discovered that therapeutic drumming, drum circle facilitation, what the ancients have known for centuries, finally I got it. And now I want to help other people. So that's
so beautiful.
Yeah.
So what is the history of drumming? I don't know that much about it myself. I just know that in different cultures, like I was raised in a pretty predominantly white community where, you know, like most of the people in my circle growing up were Catholic. So like there wasn't, like, I didn't really get exposed to different cultures until I got older. But I just always don't, like you see on movies, like different cultures and people from all over the world, you know, use different musical instruments, you know, as part of their expression, their spirituality, their healing. It just is really moving. And then as I was sharing with you before, I was watching some of your videos, and even just watching just a few minutes of the drumming, like I could feel my whole body just kind of like chill out. You're like, okay, this is pretty cool. Yeah. I cannot wait. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that if you happen to know?
Yeah. Well, you hit the nail on the head. When you talk about every culture around the world, the one instrument that you will see in every continent is the drum in many, many different forms. You know, we've seen it. In fact, I have one right here. Hold on, let's go and grab it without knocking everything over. Bear with me here. Ooh. So the ever-present frame drum, this is an example of a frame drum.
Okay.
It's just a circle, flat, like the moon, and you'll see it represented often as the moon in the ancient carvings and texts and things like that. But the drum, you'll see it in every single culture. And initially it really became a tool for communication. You know, it was the first language before verbal language. And so every event, every important ritual, every rite of passage, but, you know, from birth through death and everything in between, the drum is what brought people together. And this is how they celebrated, this is how they grieved, this is how they communicated with each other through rhythm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, all the other instrumentation, like you mentioned earlier, you'll see show up different in different cultures. But I think the universal rhythm, which is, can you guess what the universal rhythm is?
Oh, my God. Pop quiz. I don't know. I want to say dancing, but that's not it.
Well, you're not too far off. It's our heartbeat.
Oh, right? I was almost there.
We always overthink the simplest things.
I'm like, pop quiz, trauma from high school.
I wasn't ready for that.
What was it?
But that's exactly
it. A heartbeat. And, you know, oh my God, I love it. Yes.
It's the very first sound we all hear, right, in our mother's womb. And between her heartbeat and our heartbeat, we already at the very beginning have a relationship with rhythm. Mm. And so that's our first drum circle. Is jamming with mom in the womb, right? And then if you want to extend it beyond that, and this is what I love about, and I've heard you talk about this in some of your other interviews, it's the slowing down, right? The mindfulness that helps us realize how we are completely surrounded by rhythm mm-hmm. in everything we do. So it only stands to reason that when we feel in rhythm, we feel connected to our own rhythm, when we feel connected to external rhythms, we feel good. We feel better, right?
Yes. It's almost, when I was doing an anger management group once, and one of the techniques that I introduced was chanting. And I said, and so of course they all look at me like I have lobsters crawling in my ears. And so I said, it's not like the Gregorian chant. If it wants to be, that's fine. But it's just the technique that I learned was you just hold that, you have, choose one note, a vowel, a consonant, and you just sing it out. And so we did it as a group.
Ooh.
And it was just like, and all of a sudden you just feel like, you feel the pain, you feel sadness, you feel stress, just leave your body. And it doesn't matter if you're tone deaf, it doesn't matter. Like you said, it's that rhythm transcends all of that.
Yeah. And I think what you're describing is even a bigger act of bravery to, it's such a vulnerable space, you know, the throat chakra, that, right. that whole, your own internal voice and to be able to engage people to do that in a group is pretty impressive. I know I'm one of those people that I sing great in the shower. I'm so good in the car and I can genuinely carry a tune. You know, I've right. been playing my music my whole life. I get right. in front of other people and I'm like,
twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Right. I really admire people that can just do that and go yes. out. And that could yeah. be part of what drew me to the drum, because it's a way to communicate without words.
Right. And it's interesting because as you're talking about this with the heart rhythm, I just think of every little kid I've ever seen at one point gets the spoon and the pots and is just jamming out, right? Like, yep. just like they all want to be a rocker, you know, yeah. drummer, and they feel that. And I think
it's so natural.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying of, I think sometimes, I know for myself, I get in my own way. And I can think, like, for example, I love to sing, but, you know, do I have to have a class, right? It's, you got to let that go, or I'm tone deaf, or I don't have rhythm, or I have two left feet. And what mm-hmm. you're kind of presenting is we have to let that go.
We have to let that go, yeah.
And we have to, like, go back to the beginning, the heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. And I think from what I've learned in doing this kind of work, and I always feel silly when I call it work because it's so much fun, is that is another universal objection that we create for ourselves, right? We say we can't do it because we don't have rhythm, or I don't have experience, or I'm not talented, or this isn't my kind of thing. And so in the group drumming dynamic, particularly with groups that are not self-selected, right? So I'll do community events, and I also will do events where people are, you know, part of a company or part of an organization where they're brought in and they're like, hey, we're doing this drum thing. And some people just kind of look at me like, what the heck is this? And there's that moment where you see that acknowledgement where they have tapped into something really powerful for themselves, where they are unpacking an old story or releasing something that they had told themselves they can't do. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we all have those moments where somebody might make the slightest little comment when we're a small person that makes you think that you can't do that thing. And then we carry that with us for the rest of our lives. You're not musical, you can't dance, you have two left feet, whatever it is. And so in the group setting, I'm going somewhere with this.
I'm in, don't worry.
So everybody has a voice, right? So right. at the beginning, we're all strangers, where we are new to each other. Many of us may be new to the instrument. And then by the end of it, we are one music rhythm machine. You know, we are trained in the rhythm together. We become an orchestra. We become a conversation. And this dialogue is incredibly powerful, because not only can we hear it from a, you know, an auditory perspective where it's like, well, that sounds good, we're doing this, I'm doing this, you're doing this. But also we suddenly end up vibrationally on the same wavelength.
Right.
And so because we're listening, we're so in tune to what we're hearing, because we're responding to what we're hearing. And sometimes that means for some people, depending on what you're, you know, predisposed to do, that might just mean shutting up for a second, mm-hmm. or that might mean really dialing in, or somebody who is maybe a bit shy might find that they're brave on the drum and they may surprise themselves by playing loudly, you know? And when somebody steps out, we know it because the song changes. Mm-hmm. And so that very simple piece of everybody matters in this circle. And even if it's just in a recreational music setting, that's a really cool feeling.
That's, yeah, you know, it's magical. It sounds magical.
Yeah. To know that you matter.
Yes. And that you're part of a group, and all of that internal dialogue and blockage and garbage that we do to ourselves, it mm-hmm. just gets washed away for that experience and that connection, which I think, especially in the last year with everything with the pandemic, craving yes. that connection.
Yes. I
was talking to someone recently about, you know, things are opening up and hopefully, you know, more hope, but we still have gone through this, and mm-hmm. So many of us just lost that connection.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And, you know, somebody was telling me about this documentary, and I can't remember the name of it. I can't remember any details, but I do remember the main crux of it. I haven't watched it yet, but what she was telling me that the message of the film was something I believe can resonate with everybody. And it's not the trauma that destroys us, because we go through trauma our entire lives. You know, life from birth to death, the human experience is filled with trauma. Even under the best of circumstances, we're going to all have that common experience. It's going to show up differently for everybody else. But where we struggle is when we don't feel supported, when we don't have the support, either through it, and I'm sure you can speak to this in your work, either as you're going through it or on the other side of it, that is where the danger zone is, when we don't have the support. And I think even in the context of a drum circle, there is that support.
Yes.
And when I'm working in therapeutic settings, especially, there becomes that relatability piece. And then it's like, oh, you got my back. I got your back.
Right.
And it just, it feels good. That's not even getting into the brain, but
right.
We can talk about that.
So just so maybe people who are listening or watching, so if they were to contact you, you mentioned that you do different services, and, you know, I'll also ask you later to make sure that people can know how to find you. And I was watching your social media, and it's just so amazing and relaxing and powerful. But if someone were to contact you, you know, for therapeutic drumming, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that look like if I've never experienced it or I don't know anything about it?
Cool. Well, that's a great question, and I'm happy to answer it for you.
Yay!
So there is actually training involved, right? Okay. So as with anything in a therapeutic setting, what most people want to see is that they're going to be outcomes, beneficial outcomes,
right?
And that we can say that these are based on research. So the protocols that I'm trained in are evidence-based. And what's really great about that is it gives me flexibility to go into settings and populations that may not otherwise have felt the value of a drum circle, right? Because there's a certain connotation that people, they hear that and they go, a bunch of hippies, you know, drumming in the woods, whatever. And that is a thing, and that's a great thing. Yeah. But when we want to talk about healing and we want to talk about therapeutic benefits, we need to back it up with a little bit more. So what's really great now is with technology, we're learning so much more about the brain, right? Mm-hmm. We're learning how it can actually heal itself, right? We're learning that it's more flexible than we once imagined.
And resilient.
And so very resilient, right? Provided we've got the support and the yes. tools to do that, right? So the Health Rhythms Protocol, which is a training program that I received through Remo Drums, which is really, Remo has really been at the forefront of therapeutic drumming when it comes to supporting facilitators as well as doing the research. So they have a whole team of music therapists that have been engaged in doing research for, you know, decades. But the pivotal study that happened in 1999 with Dr. Barry Bittman, he's a neuroscientist, this is where we determined that there's actual physiological change happening at the cellular level with drumming.
Wow.
And so in a therapeutic environment, for example, say some of the locations I work with, for example, people in treatment addiction recovery facilities, right? Or I should say communities. And so what we'll do in those types of settings is I'll bring the drums, but we don't touch the drums until we get to know each other a little bit, right? So we'll do some breathing, some guided meditation, maybe just to kind of get everybody out of their head and into their body a little bit. And it's a lot like therapy with that on-ramp approach. And then from there, we'll engage maybe in some rhythm games, some icebreakers, really, but I don't love that word because that conjures up like uncomfortable board meetings.
Summer camp or something. Yeah. So what was that? The trust fall? Trust job?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep, I know.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. I'm with you.
Well, and I think that's an important part of being a skilled facilitator, because, you know, these outcomes that we're looking for, you have to read the room, certainly, and you have to understand that the lack of participation, and maybe initially at the outset, or hesitant participation, I'll say, is not a reflection of you as a facilitator as much as it's your job to just, you know, hold space for everybody that's there. And meet them where they're at. And I've never ever had a circle where everybody wasn't participating that was invited to participate. So after we do that, you know, we'll do the guided meditation, we'll play some games, and everybody's laughing within minutes when we're doing the games because we're all messing up. We're dropping things, we're off the beat, it's funny. And then from there, once that ice is broken, then we will go into a little bit of drum instruction, very basic drum instruction. I'll show couple different tones and things and how to achieve different sounds on the drum. I typically use hand drums like those back there, the djembes, which are West African hand drums. I use those and some other synthetic versions of those. So lots of options. People get to choose which drum they want and we get to kind of swap as we go. There is a connection with that instrument, you know? And then we'll play some games that on the drum where we're creating rhythms. And before you know it, people are making up their own rhythms. And because we are talking about, in those situations, sometimes different themes. So as a facilitator, I will address those themes rhythmically. So we'll play things on our drums. And typically what happens is people feel compelled to share. And it's never mandatory, but it's always welcome. So a lot of times people will just say, oh man, this story came up for me, and they'll share it with the group. And then we'll say, you know, can anybody else relate to that? And, you know, the hands start going up. Then we get this great dialogue. This happens often in team building, particularly in the healthcare environment.
Oh, wow.
You know, people who are long-term care workers or teachers, preschool teachers, people, especially this year, I've done team building with teachers who are just like,
yes.
I'm done.
Yes.
And so, you know, their leadership wants to support them, but sometimes you're out of words. Like, you don't want to talk about this, or you don't feel safe to talk about it. So we can get people connected, laughing, talking, sharing through the rhythm. And then once we get into it, we're just jamming. And that's the part where, you know, I love watching people light up, and there's always one person at the end of the class that will ask me, hey, where can I get a drum?
Oh, I love that.
Or where can I do this again? You know? Yeah. And then by the end, just like any awesome time, you know, when you're having a great time with friends, it's always so hard to leave, you know, you don't want to just walk away. Okay, we're done.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah, it's hard.
No. So when you do a session, is it an hour or is a variation? How does that normally work?
It's usually between 60 and 90 minutes.
Okay.
And so again, there's that off-ramp piece where we kind of wind it down. We don't go from the big endorphin high, jamming, having a great time to,
see you later. Gotta go.
So we kind of, you know, decrescendo. We have a moment where we go around the room and we'll share, you know, kind of where we're at, headspace, what we're feeling. And then everybody just leaves a little more calm, a little more connected, mm-hmm. a little more relaxed. And so the ideal way to do a session like that is, I mean, a one-off is certainly valuable, but if an organization can make it a part of a monthly or even a weekly therapeutic wellness program, you know, corporate wellness or team building wellness, then you're going to just get more benefit, certainly, the more you right. do it. But if nothing else, you've had that joyful moment that your team can or your group can then reflect upon, you know,
right.
a positive memory.
Right. And it's planting those seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you do. I mean, it's very experiential, right?
Right.
Which is,
right.
I think, how I accidentally came up with the name for my organization, because I didn't really think about it in these terms when I came up with the name, because I was still pretty new to
right.
it. But now I think about it, I'm like, that's what it is. You're stepping into an experience and you have to show up mm-hmm. in order to get the benefits. But so does everybody else.
Right.
Right.
I as you're speaking, I'm just thinking that it must be so profound if you had like a group of like for grief or anger, mm-hmm. like to be able to mm-hmm. to like pound that out or, you know, like move it out and everything. And I'm certified in EMDR, and that focuses on working with the brain chemistry and bilateral stimulation or dual attention stimuli. So sometimes when you're doing that, the tapping, like we do a lot of tapping on our shoulders and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes just that's part of the healing, and
yeah.
it helps the brain communicate more efficiently and more profoundly, like you were saying, with the research they're doing. So they're getting that healing, and they think they're just playing the drums, I'm assuming.
Right. I mean, there's such, and this is when I first learned about you and saw that you did the EMDR, I immediately thought about the parallels with drumming, because the left brain, right brain integration part, certainly, which is so important for, you know, full function and neuroplasticity, and certainly creating those neural pathways where we can just focus better, we're more present, we're more alert, better problem solvers, all these different things that we use on a daily basis. But also, where was I going with that? Oh, how it relates to, you know, full body healing, right? And the physiological benefits of moving different parts of your body, left and right, but then also using your arms, tapping your feet, because the more parts of our body that we use, the more synaptic connections we're creating, right? So that's why dance and anything where you have to learn moves. And this is the thing that I tell people too, you don't even have to be good, right? It's just trying something new and engaging in it.
What? Vulnerability? Come on.
I know. But I think, and that's one of my favorite things, is most people realize that they are good. They're
yeah.
better than they thought than they would be. And I mean, there's so many amazing lessons, because you want to be patient with the process. And one of the things I struggle with in everything I do, I'm going to speak in absolutes now. I have this feeling, and I don't know if this comes from being a middle child or just, I don't know where it comes from, but when I try something new, I feel like I want to be good at it right away. Right.
Yes.
And then can you relate to that?
I'm the youngest child, so I'm familiar with the middle child.
Oh, okay.
So I validate and support your need.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, and it's interesting. My husband's a middle child too. And when we were like, oh man, all right, well, let's
how's
figure
this
going to
work out?
Right?
I could never, ever let you down.
Well, we're so considerate. No, you go. No, I'll go. No, you go.
And then the middle right? one or the youngest one is like, whatever, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. It's so funny how cliche it is, but at the same time, it's based on absolute truth, right? But I think because I've always feel like I want to be good at something, I spot that in people, and I have a lot of compassion surrounding that, because it's something I have to address every time I do something new, being patient with the process, realizing it doesn't matter if I'm good at it, right? Certainly I want to be good at my work. I want to be effective.
Right.
But when it comes to you know, insignificant things. And my husband's a drummer too. And all right, I'm going to be really vulnerable here. You ready?
I'm with you.
So when he and I play together, which is a blast, it always is. But for the first probably, 87 times that we did it,
right,
I got into this space of, because he's very good. He's better than me. Like he's a real drummer. And like professional, you know, plays on stages and bands. But he is also very much a soul drummer. And my beginnings came, I'm more cerebral initially coming into it, right?
Right.
But it did tap into that soul drummer in me.
Right.
So one of the battles that I have is getting that cerebral drummer out of the picture when I just want to jam with my husband. And right, he doesn't care. Like he'll teach me a cool pattern and then we'll do it together. And then I'll feel like, oh, I didn't do it good enough. I have to do it better. I'm holding him back. I don't want to. And so this whole dialogue goes on, right, until I just knock it off. Yeah. Who cares? Right.
Right. Right.
Now, I will say I'm getting there faster and better than ever, but for a while I was like, what is that story? So I tried to...
And it feels
to...
like you almost hit like an invisible wall, right? Of like, what is the, you know, when you're not really sure what it is, when you have that disconnect of, because I feel like it's so subconscious at that point that we don't even know that that's where we're operating from.
Right, exactly. And thankfully, he is fantastic about talking about it in a way that is working toward resolving it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's incredibly supportive and he's like, you know, you can do this. And even if you can't, who cares? And just letting me know it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. None of it matters. And letting that go.
You're like, actually it does. I have a scorecard in my mind for myself, not even anyone else.
Not even anybody else. Yeah. He's like, why are you so competitive? I'm like, I don't know.
Why? Do you think I'm doing it wrong?
So I think about that a whole lot when I'm teaching and when I'm facilitating, because I know the story very well. And
probably see their pain when you see that. Because that's pain, like you said, in that moment of vulnerability that you shared with me, of that hurts when you make that realization, especially when you're talking about with your partner, like you're trying to dance and connect with your partner, or whether it's a friend or a client, and you have this invisible elephant between you two.
Right. And it's interesting that you say that, because I never feel that when I'm out working, if I'm out in the world doing this,
right,
it's like only in my own, because it's that self competition, right? Or the self, whatever it was, the word that you used. But my husband says to me, because there's, I mean, one of the elements of this work is improvisational, certainly, because you never know who's going to show up. You never know who's going to want to be there, who's not going to want to be there, if you're going to have a difficult person or someone who, because there are instances where I have to quiet the room, even with adults. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you don't want to be that teacher where you're like, I'm talking,
right,
you know? So you have to be creative of problem solving with those types of dynamics. And then also just from a recreational perspective, I host a drum circle once a month in the city where I live. Mm-hmm. And we just had our 5-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you. It
wow,
is amazing.
5 years.
5 years, every month for 5 years. And it's grown just into this amazing community of friends and supporters, and people have gotten married out of the circle. People have started businesses together out of the circle. So it's just been so much more than drumming. Totally, totally. But in those instances, especially as it grows, because when we first started, it was a lot of core drummers, you know, people who were way into drumming. And then as word got out, you got more and more drum curious people. Like, what is this all about? Mm-hmm. And we do it in a public park. So a lot of times people will walk by and they're with their kids and they're like, what's happening here? So a lot of times you have a lot of drummers who are not drummers or no experience. So I have to shift the facilitation role a bit and maybe add some structure or take some structure away, depending on what the dynamic is. And I love that part because it's fun and it's magic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's
after
fluid.
The fact,
it's fluid.
Yeah.
So what do you do when someone is not fluid? Let's say a little rigid. how do you, you know, they're there, but they, you know, I could just see myself, you know, not so much rigid, but just insecure, uncomfortable of like how, you know, kind of that perfectionism is like, I don't want to mess this up, or I don't want to let anyone else down, or right. Oh my gosh, I'm new to the group. How do I not, you know, drop the ball? You know, it is that vulnerability there, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, depending on the person, and I feel like this is one of my God-given gifts, is that intuition. I am very in touch with, I don't know, I could just feel that energy with a person where I can see where the biggest obstacle is going to be for them if I sense that. I spent 20 years as a photographer. I think that might have something to do with it. I'm just very observant.
Eagle's eye.
Yeah. And so, yeah, when in those instances, there's a couple different ways they can go. Some what we're doing, like, mm-hmm. what is this all about kind of thing. And so that creates some resistance. So in those cases, I may give them a task or a job, or kind of make them my helper in some way.
Oh, wow.
Which is very effective, because then they're invested, right?
Right.
And then another thing I might do is do some sort of game that's going to make us all mess up. You know what I mean? There's something where when I say mess up, I know it's guaranteed to be silly in a sense. Like we have a goal, but I know because we're all inexperienced and we're all new to each other that we're going to have a lot of fun failing at our goal, if that makes any
sense. Learning how to fail, that's awesome.
And so one of the things, yeah, and I can give you an example. So I don't know, can you hear this?
Yes.
Okay. So say we're playing a rhythm. A pretty straightforward rhythm.
Okay.
So what we might do is take that rhythm and pass it around our circle.
Okay.
So each person plays one beat. And then I'll keep the downbeat going. I always have bells on my feet, and I just tap my foot.
Of course.
In it, right?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? That's why I do this work, so I can wear bells on my feet.
Yes.
But so I'll keep the downbeat going, and then we'll pass in time, because that's the thing, right? It's got to be together in time. Okay. We'll pass that rhythm all the way around the circle. So it becomes, say you've got a circle of 10 people. It's hitting one beat only, but we want the rhythm, that pattern, to be consistent. Like we want it to be what we created. And so most of the time, especially if this is the first time we're doing it, we'll get a few beats and then someone will go, and then we all look at each other and we all laugh, and it's awesome. It's really fun, myself included, because you're so focused on not messing up. So you're trying to internalize the downbeat, which is a big thing I talk about, because when you're drumming, you need to know what the tempo is at all times. But then also you're watching everybody else focus, which is fun. And then you're also anticipating when it's going to be your turn, right? So you can either over anticipate or under anticipate. So everybody wants to get it right.
Right.
And so it just becomes a real bonding experience right out of the gate. So if I notice someone is kind of like, oh, you know, I'll do something like that, and it kind of levels the playing field a little bit.
Right. Kind of like clearing the space.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because if ever anyone's watching, have a chance to watch the videos that's on your social media, Susie. I was watching the different people, because the videos are really cool, because you go around and you see everyone, and you have people from all, you know, such a great inclusive group of people in all your different circles, and you just see the nonverbal communication of just like the peace and the joy. Some are more serious, some are closed eyes, some are open, some are jamming, some are like meditative. It's really, really neat.
I'm glad that resonated with you, because I think that was such a a pleasant surprise, I guess, because when I started the community drum circle, it was really about finding other people to drum with. Mm-hmm. I was really being selfish initially. but honestly, I wanted people to drum with, but I also wanted to know my community. I had just moved to that town. I didn't know anybody. I had moved from downtown Austin up to one of the suburbs about 20 miles outside the city. And I was missing everybody that I used to make music with. And so I was like, I miss everybody. So I just started a circle and people of all ages started coming. And now, like, we had a circle recently where the oldest member was 77 and the youngest was zero.
Oh.
It was a little newborn. So that was, that was a cool day.
That's amazing. What an awesome group. So are you in the mood to play for us tonight?
Sure.
I mean, you could just walk around and I'd be happy with the bells. It's filter free Friday. So I'm really, the bar is set so low for me. I'm just like,
right. Well, let me see what drum is going to sound like. This drum, for example, this buffalo drum, I'd like you to hear it because it sounds so good. Wait, I'm going to go on the floor for a second.
Okay.
I'm shrinking.
The incredible shrinking woman.
So I need this. Ooh. Okay. So this is a buffalo drum, and this is a Remo drum that they created based on the traditional Native American buffalo drum. Can you still hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So what I love about this, and I'm not sure how it's going to come over, but you tell me.
I can hear it. It's fine.
Okay. Can you hear the deep resonant tone?
Vibration after? Yeah.
Oh, you can hear the vibration too?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, cool. Well, this is an incredibly therapeutic drum. And what I like about this one, you can play it with your mallet or you can play it with your hands.
Yeah, I can't hear it with the hands. I could hear it with
Yeah. So we'll do it that way.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Okay. So yeah, you get different tones depending on where you are on the drum.
Okay, yep.
So this is nice for therapeutic settings. This is really nice for sound healing because you can actually feel the vibrations on your body. And it's nice for just self-meditation, you know, post or pre-yoga. Sometimes I'll do this in the morning just to kind of, you know, regulate the central nervous system before or after a crazy day. But kids love that one too, because it's so bassy and it makes your whole body tingle, and kids love a sensory experience.
Right. I can only imagine.
Right. All right. I'll grab one of these.
Okay.
I feel like if I lean too far, I'm just going to rip my headphones right now. Yeah, that's not going to work. Hold on. Yay. Oh. Okay. So this drum, I'll bring it up so you can see how beautiful she is.
Oh, wow, that is beautiful.
So this is called the djembe, and this is a West African hand drum.
Okay.
It's probably the most popular hand drum in the United States in terms of, well, in the world, really, because it is relatively easy to learn to play. It is affordable because it comes in all different sizes and shapes and materials. And it is very versatile. So you can play it in all different types of environments. So you'll see this, probably this is the most see in a drum circle, and you can, it's that chalice shape.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Carved out of a single tree.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And then it's got the goatskin head. So this is what you call a rope-tuned djembe.
Okay.
So you tighten these ropes to change the pitch of the sound. And you do that by spin it around. It's quite heavy, so I'm trying to spin it without throwing it on my computer. I don't know if you could see that there. It's kind of like got these little diamond shapes in the ropes there.
Yes, it's beautiful.
So what they do is they say you're pulling diamonds means you are tuning your drum. So you take the rope and you weave it through these lateral ropes and you twist it in such a way that when you tighten it, it cinches everything up. And so you can put as many diamonds as you want to get the sound that you want. Wow. But you don't want to put too many because then the head will pop.
Okay, you're right.
Attention, right? So this drum is my baby. I always joke with my son. I have a almost 16-year-old son. And he is, he's a guitar player, actually. He's quite good and teases me about how drumming is the worst. I'm like, just wait until you need a drummer for your band.
Everyone wants to be the drummer. I don't know what he's talking about.
Right? Exactly. But I had this joke with him, like, if the house is ever on fire, can you grab my drum? Because I know you can walk.
Right.
My drum can't. So yeah, need a little help there. So you can't see it from my angle, but I'm going to play it and see if you can hear the sound. Can you hear that at all?
Yes.
Can you hear this?
Yes.
You can hear that?
Okay. Yes.
Is it like annoying or is it?
No.
I never know how it's going to sound.
No,
on the other side.
No. Even if it was, I probably would just say go with it because I think that's it.
Cool. Well, I want to emphasize when you're playing a djembe, for those of you out there that may be wanting to go to a drum circle, one of the things I will tell you is don't wear rings because they will damage the head.
Okay.
So at the beginning of every event, I bring all drums to share, but I always have to tell everybody. And there's always this kind of awkward moment. Everyone takes their rings off, but I wear a rubber ring, so I don't have to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I'll play, I can play a traditional West African rhythm for you called Fonga. Yeah, that would
be awesome.
And if it sounds terrible, just wave and be like, it sounds awful. This audio is not working. Just let me know.
I'm going through a tunnel. I'll call you back.
Exactly. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're at home, if you want to mute yourself, maybe, because sometimes if there's a delay, it won't sound quite right. But I can give you something that you can play at home to play along with me if you'd like.
Are you saying to me or just the audience? Okay. I'll put myself on mute.
You can clap, you can use your hand. If you've got a pencil or something there, you can use that.
All right, I'll put myself on mute so that it's not ricocheting.
Okay, so the beat that you can play at home, you can do. That should work with it. All right, here we go.
Awesome. I feel totally awkward. Even though it's silent, I'm like, oh my god, thank god no one can hear me because I know I'm messing this up.
Oh.
But it's okay, I kept going. Moment of vulnerability, Friday night feels.
Exactly.
Oh, that but it was so odd, like, just you could still feel it. You could still feel it.
Yes, and I think that's a big part of it, right? Like a lot of times people come to a drum circle, whether it's a community drum circle or one of the therapeutic settings, I always say right out of the gate, you do not have to play unless you feel called to play.
Right.
You might just want to sit back and soak up the vibrations. And particularly in improvisational group drumming, I actually encourage those moments where you just listen, right? Because you are responding to what's going on around you. So if I play something on my drum, you're gonna wanna respond with something that sounds appropriate. Like you're not, it would be like if you're having a conversation and you say, like that's not really communicating, that's not what I said.
Right.
So in the case of drumming, you wanna play something that is still connected rhythmically to what's going on around you. And that's where the whole, because we all know what that feels like, right?
Yes.
It's just a matter of getting it out of your head. Yeah.
So how can people connect with you or you know, reach out to you and find you in the world of Tejas?
and find me in the world in all the ways. So
hey, I Texas is website. Big, like you said.
It is. It's true. It's true. And I'll go everywhere. Texas, I will go anywhere you want me to go in Texas. Love it. And yeah, so I have a website, soulshinerhythm.com is my website. And then from there, you can link to all the things, Facebook, Instagram. You can sign up for my newsletter. I do community events all the time. And one of the things that's been really great this year is we've been seeing so much collaboration between venues and artists. And so I've been brought in to several different music festivals and concerts where they want to energize the crowd. They really just want to get everybody connected and excited to be there and remember what it's like to be around people.
Right? Right, and connect. And so it's awkward a little bit, right?
Yeah. It is. And I feel very grateful for my drum circle because we've been lucky enough to be able to do that for a long time because it's the perfect social distancing activity, yes, right? You're just spread out, banging on drums. Right. So we've been able to do a lot of that still. But at these concerts, we do an interactive drum circle where it's facilitated and it's kind of what we were talking about with the health rhythms, but it's more of a recreational outcome than therapeutic.
Now, what about virtually? Yeah, I love it. What about virtually? What about virtually?
I do offer programs for virtual upon request. I've done some lessons online and I've done some drum circle facilitation online. It's a different experience, certainly.
Right.
But there's still value there because it's still about the doing, right? So if anybody who's not in Texas wants to connect, I'll do it. I'll do anything. Come on.
I love it. So, well, you know, you mentioned different culture. Have you been able to travel, let's say, you know, pre-COVID, have you been able to travel to different places for drumming experiences? Like different countries and different things like that?
Well, my drum journey started when I became a single mom. So my life, the last 10 years has really been about that.
Right.
But I am certainly open. But I think that's what's been so great about drumming too, is you have this opportunity to travel through the music because I just love the culturally specific rhythms that come out of places like, you know, Latin America, certainly. And when we start to see the roots, fundamental, foundational rhythms, and you realize this is every rock and roll song ever written, right? So I think that's probably what a lot of people, it resonates with them because they're like, wait, this is familiar. I know this.
Right.
I know where the beat is.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because when I'm explaining to someone about EMDR, you know, there's a lot of scientific information and I try to, like, you know, make it more accessible. And so when I'm explaining bilateral stimulation, I'll say, when you see a baby crying or a toddler crying, what do you do? They say, well, I pick up the child. And I said, and what do you do with the child? You rock it. And I said, that's bilateral stimulation. And then the child calms down, right? Because the brain is able to calm down.
Oh, interesting. Well, that makes so much sense. And comparing it to drumming, it's that movement that we're doing when we're back and forth on the drum. And you'll see that a lot too with culturally specific rhythms because it's about efficiency. So if you're playing a pattern that you need to get from here to here quickly, you're going to be doing left, right movements.
Right.
But it's one of those amazing things where they didn't think about it when they created these rhythms. They were going purely out of instinct, purely out of being in the moment.
Right. And I think we live in a world where there's so much interference and so much a distraction, especially with technology, that we're not learning how to, once again, slow down and connect to our essence or to our body, and how dysregulated we can become because of that.
Yes, absolutely. And how it's ongoing. I think some people may struggle with, okay, I did this one time and it felt great, but there's that like we talked about before, showing up, you have to keep showing up. Like I think right. about the things that make me feel good and make me feel better. You just have to, you have to keep going. And some days it's going to be great, and other days it's going to be harder.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like when you have an infection, the doctor gives you, you know, like an antibiotic. You're like, yeah, I'm feeling good by day three. So I quit the antibiotic, the infection. Yeah. It's like, you have to continue until the healing or the movement is
right.
complete. And then you,
and then there's the maintenance, right? So you want to, don't want to get sick again. So you start living a healthier lifestyle, cutting out bad habits. Right. So yeah, there's that whole, and I think that that's an important point too, because no one said it was going to be easy
right.
to live a healthy, enriched, fulfilled life.
Right.
It takes effort. And I'm of the belief that why not look for the tools that are going to resonate with you the most and that are going to be enjoyable enough that you're going to want to continue them. And I will say from personal experience, meditation, not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love yoga. I love movement. I love dance. I love working out, but sitting still and that, like, I really struggle with that. So drumming became my active meditation.
Right.
And because you can't think about anything else when you're trying to work out a new rhythm. Like you've right. got that whole brain involved.
Yes. And you get that, like, healing on, like you said, that cellular level. And I think so many times people think when we're talking about mindfulness and wellness and self-care, we have that stereotypical mountaintop with the llama and the silence and eating soybeans. And there's so much more to it. Like, I have a background of macaroons and like that to me is part of wellness, because it's like you have to enjoy the sweetness of life, because there is a lot of bitter sometimes, and you got to balance it out like a good recipe.
Yeah, there is. I have, absolutely. And I have a good example of that that just happened this week. So I was mentioned earlier, my son, he is 16, almost 16. And he is one of the funniest people I've ever met. Like, he just cracks me up. And his sense of humor is so seamless. Like, we'll be having an interaction, then he'll say something that is so funny and you're like cracking up. Well, we went out the other night to dinner and he had me just rolling laughing, like belly laughing, right? And I got home and I was going to bed and I was laying in bed and I was thinking about something that he said and it made me laugh all over again. And I was trying to tell my husband the story and I couldn't get it out because I was laughing and then I'm snorting. And I thought, man, it felt so good to just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was one of those simple things. You know, I think over the course of the last year, we didn't have that many belly laugh moments. You know, there's a lot of tension, a lot of that. And so we can actually laugh together again in each other's presence. You know, I feel very honored to play some role in that, in these different communities that I get to work with, because we laugh. We right. just, we let go and we just, like, snorting laughter.
Right.
Best kind.
Right. Moves the spirit.
Yeah. And it's good medicine.
So, Susie, this has been such a lovely conversation. So I'm so glad that you were able to join me on Friday Night Feels tonight. This has been amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry, my internet's a little wonky. I can tell it's slow. It's probably ready for the weekend. But before we end, I just have one more question for you. If
sure.
you could share one last thing that you would want people to walk away with from our discussion tonight, what would that be?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's a big question, Patrick.
Go big or go home, right? Know, isn't that the motto in Texas?
Right? Go Texas. Right. Yeah. Well, I think in keeping with the theme that we've been talking about today is, you know, be kind to yourself. I think that whenever we are looking, well, I'll speak for myself. I know when I'm beginning something big or a journey or something that I need to tend to in my life that might seem overwhelming or scary. I think some folks may have a tendency to be very self-critical if they're not making great strides right out of the gate, or if they fall off, or if they need to get back on a lots of times. And, you know, being gentle and kind to yourself in those moments, because it's the not giving up part is where the success happens, right? I know it feels a little bit cliche, but there's no such thing as a failure who keeps trying.
Right.
And so, because it is a process, this whole thing, this whole human experience on Earth is a learning process. And so be kind to yourself. I'm going to try to take my own advice too.
Thanks. Hey, well, we're connected now, so we can keep each other on task.
There you go. Don't be too mean though. Okay.
Listen, I have sweetness. Look at my background. my profession, I might know a little bit about sweetness. I don't know.
I know. I think I got a cavity just watching this. It's okay, though.
I'll say to people, I'm like, now, do you want the, I'll ask clients, I'm like, now, do you want the stereotypical slow counseling approach, or do you want like the come to Jesus approach? And they'll be like, go ahead, Patrick.
So that's awesome. And I think, isn't that one of the benefits of EMDR too? It kind of speeds things up a bit in terms of that. Yep. Yeah.
I always say it's when you're doing traditional talk therapy, it's like when you're moving and you move one box at a time. But when you're doing EMDR, it's like you've hired a moving crew. So it moves a lot faster than you can even be aware of.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
Susie, thank you so much for coming. And thank you to everyone who is watching or listening. Remember, it's on all the social media, YouTube, all the fun stuff. So I hope you all have a beautiful weekend. And I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks on the next Friday Night Feels. Take care, everyone.